You are listening to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and they do this each and every week. For over 3 years now, the guys have played and reviewed almost 200 retro video games. But now, for the first time ever, New Game Plus presents a six-part miniseries called Press Start.
Welcome to New Game Plus. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
I'm Nolan.
And this is Press Start, our very first mini-series that we've ever done in our entire lives. And this is part six.
The finale?
It's the finale. And it's part six and the final portion.
The finale, the final portion, and the epic conclusion to our first ever mini-series called Press Start.
Have we said that yet?
Wait, what's it called one more time?
This is the second half of the miniseries. The first half, what did we do? We talked through our histories, our story, our like timeline of how video games came into our lives.
Something like that.
And then for the second half, we've been sharing our most impactful video games of our entire life. So in part four, you got Nolan's. In part five, you got mine. And we saved the best for last.
Yes,
I don't know about that.
Kenny. Everyone loves Kenny.
That is true.
Kenny never trolls. Kenny's never wrong.
Wait. Okay.
One of those two statements is right.
Kenny always has insightful commentary and never just responds with,
He's never done that in his life.
He's never done that in his life. And for this part six, the finale of Press Start, we're going to hear from everyone's favorite character.
I liked that I'm Kenny. A character. Wait, what? Was that like intentional suspense pause? Because I totally ruined it.
Kenny.
All right, guys. So let me skinny with you here.
Oh, we're going to start that way.
Wait. Yeah.
No.
I don't want that.
No, you do. You do. Because I feel like I have to give a little bit of context before I jump in
you
here.
Would.
Otherwise, I'm going to feel really bad.
We're freaking six episodes in and you can't just give a straight answer.
No, I can't. Because this is a really, really big question. Like, what games impacted you the most is... It literally is almost impossible to say because there's too many that had too many different effects at too many different times. I can't even like remember them all. And so here's just my caveat is just I chose six games that had an effect on me and that were notable for a reason. And I don't know if it was the biggest effect. I don't know. But I'm really bad at really conclusive statements. And so
we know.
Not the six that affected me the most, but six that affected me that I thought would be fun to talk about. Even though some of them we've already talked about a little bit in history, and it's hard to avoid that.
Well,
so, anyhow.
You do you, because at this point, it's too late for us to change your mind anyways.
That's true. It is. We're committed. And since this one kind of revolves around me, I kind of get to do what I want. So, after I chose a number of games that had... you know, had a big impact on me in looking back, getting ready for this episode. I then went back and tried to at least put them in some kind of chronological order just for my memory's sake and so that there'd be some natural progression there. So we'll start with some earlier games. I've got a couple of NES titles.
He's
that
never
going
to say them.
Big ones.
He's got the longest thing to say.
He's just going
to
drag this sucker on.
He'll never say the title.
I won't.
Yeah?
So the first game that had a big impact on my life that I want to talk about is Dragon Warrior.
Dragon Warrior.
Yeah. So we've talked about this being a big game for me before, but not really having dug into that. And so... It actually kind of... I sort of played this game twice in my life, two different, like, eras of the game. And in terms of, like, actual impact on me, like, as a gamer, The second one was probably more impactful. This was one of those first RPGs I played all the way through, but like without guides, without story, figuring out all the clues on your own, discovering the stuff, you know, like getting it. And that was really, really neat. But I thought it'd be more fun to even talk about my very first experience with this game. And that was, this was the first game I played like socially. I had friends, I don't even know how young I was, like young, and we would go hang out at their house and spend hours upon hours playing Dragon Warrior. Now, you got to remember, we were like young kids at this point, old enough to navigate an NES, to understand what's going on, you know, to read chat and kind of conceptually sort of get it, but not old enough to like figure out the puzzles and actually beat the game or be good at it. And so most of my experiences of Dragon Warrior were us dying, losing most of our money, and then trying to get money back by going and fighting this really one specific creature that you could only find in a certain couple of places and gave you basically no experience, like no game progression at all. But if you killed it, it gave you lots and lots of gold. And there was just this one place where we would just walk back and forth for like minutes and I'm sure hours at a time, just trying to kind of put these things on farm and being really just objectively terrible at it and having the time of our lives. And I don't know why that of all the early like social games sticks with me as a memory, but it's one of the first games I remember playing and it being sort of like a cornerstone of friendship, a thing that you do together. And that's kind of cool.
Well, you know what's weird about that is that that game's a single-player game. It's an RPG.
Oh, totally. It may have been a really early root of where my like willingness to watch other people play games and not even play them myself and still get enjoyment of that comes from. I don't know. But like, just one of us would play. We'd just pass around the controller and sit there and just talk about it and freak out about all the money we were going to make. And we mispronounced everything. Like, we carried around herbs to heal ourselves.
Oh, no.
And yeah.
Was it the metal slime?
No. Metal slimes are the opposite. It was literally the opposite of
metal
that.
Metal slime gives a lot of experience.
Yeah, metal slimes
no
are super
money.
Rare, hard to find, hard to kill, and gives a ton of experience, but like no gold.
Do
it
you
was,
remember?
I think they just call them the, I think it was just literally called a gold man.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Yeah. I may have the name wrong.
Okay, so now that thing when you were playing it with friends and all of that, you're saying that was your first kind of experience with the game, or like, because you said there were two different ones.
Yeah, it's one of the early, that is one of my earliest like social memories of playing a game together.
Okay.
Like,
right,
well,
no, and that's not what I'm talking about. So you said Dragon Warrior, there are two different times it was in your life.
Oh, yeah, there is. I went back and actually, like, beat the game later as an older child when I was, you know, like, able to actually comprehend that,
yeah.
You know, there's goals to this game and you can't actually beat it and it's not just something you turn on and play until you die and then turn off and then go, like, eat a popsicle.
So I'm more disappointed that one of those times, or that there's not a third time when I watched you play it nearly all the way
That's
through.
That's true. I did a playthrough of this game for you, didn't
But you
I?
Know what? I mean, it doesn't really count. It's not
enough to
remember.
It completely
counts.
It was
no.
The full circle of Wait. This game having a social impact on my
when?
Life.
When?
Was it in college?
Yes.
In my room? Kenny really didn't have a place to stay, so he would crash in my room often. And this is one of the games that I watched him play pretty much all the way through. And it was super enjoyable because this is one of the games that Kenny knows. And
oh, yeah.
It was a lot of fun. But I would do that thing, Nolan, where I would look up stuff like if he needed it or like help guide
like
him
our
from
RuneScape
the computer.
Adventures.
Yeah. Oh, it was fun. It's a great game, and I'm glad that it's one of your most impactful games because
it is
great.
A great game. And we just talked recently about how I fell off on the series and ought to jump in again way later, and that would be fun. But it definitely is one of those games I played early and then played again and got to know really well and then have continued to play and revisit every, you know, half a decade or decade just for nostalgia's sake. And like, there's a couple of the caves that I can like navigate without even using a torch, just by like sound and feel.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Now, I would say that you are the get off my lawn old type. Like, I would love for you to go back to to the newer Dragon Warriors and enjoy them, but I have a feeling that if you tried, you wouldn't.
Just
yeah,
about
I probably
to say
won't.
That.
I'll probably just play this game on repeat. like I did as a kid, you know, farming those gold men. Like, that's what this game will be for me.
Just now without friends.
Yeah, exactly. Which brings us to the second game I wanted to bring up. And if the first game I wanted to bring up was one of my early memories of a game that had, like, some social significance for me, I thought I would bring up a big title that was one of the first games I remember actually being really competitive about. And this one obviously isn't a big surprise because it's a huge title. I'm actually surprised we haven't had more conversations about it on our show because of how big it is. But it's the third Super Mario game, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know where you're going with this.
In my era. I mean, I'm an old man. And it just, it was such a popular game. Everybody had it. And people were generally knowledgeable about it. And so it became one of the first games that I felt like I got really serious about trying to, like, be competitive with. I would do, like, the annoying thing where you, if the other character, like, walks past your character, you can, like, initiate the little fight to go to that world and try and, like, knock each other out to take over their ability to do the next level.
This is the one with the overworld. That's what you're talking about, where you come
this
across.
This is the one with the overworld.
And you can this one's actually two players, so you can play Mario and Luigi.
Right. Right. You have both, which was great and lent itself towards sort of that competitive aspect. And I would do things like pretend to fail at a level, but, like, intentionally fail, because then I got to play the cooler level that then gave your character the cooler thing, so that you were the one in charge of, like, using the flute and all the, like, cool stuff. I had this whole strategy, kind of meta strategy down of, like, who would go first and which levels to play and how and when to intentionally flub stuff. And it was the first game that I, like, that I just got competitive about, which is silly because it's not that kind of game at all. Like, it's cooperative two-player.
Yeah.
But I loved
I never thought of the game in a competitive sense, but I kind of totally forgot that you could play it that way. Or maybe just no one plays it that way.
It's not really competitive.
It's like a two-player battle royale.
I don't know about that.
No.
But I think it's... Well, it's interesting that so far both of your games have been social games, like this one competitive, so it's a little different, but I'm surprised.
Yeah. This one also sticks out to me just because it was so big. Like, this is the one that, like, I wore the Game Genie out on and, you know, knew all the Game Genie codes, like, by heart and could do them by memory. And, yeah, like, it was just a big game in its own right as well. It was hard enough that you could beat it and feel good about it, but not so easy that it felt like a Anyways, it's a great title. But the kind of aspect that I wanted to highlight in terms of, you know, its impact on me was it bringing out some of that competitive edge, which I have in spades now.
You still do. Are you a big competitive player?
Oh, like, yeah.
I know that a lot of the games that you play are, like, I mean, you've done the card games and StarCraft, and you enjoy games like that, but what competitive games are you playing right now?
Ooh.
I mean, nothing really. I'm a terrible gamer right now. I'm still playing Hearthstone at the moment and enjoying it.
I feel like because Dragon Warrior was a competitive game for you, you can pretty much make any game a competitive game.
Right. You can get any of them to be something you're serious about if you do.
I've heard that some people recently have made Tetris a competitive game.
You've heard
that? Yeah, Nolan's been playing that dumb Tetris Battle Royale.
But this is Kenny's episode.
Yeah.
It's true. And we're not going to talk about Tetris, even though we could, because that was a big game in my life, too. But we're going to skip it and move to the next one that I think is significant. And this one I'm going to say is significant for another silly reason, but it was also a significant game. A significant game on its own right. And I want to talk about Age of Empires.
Oh, yeah.
The first one?
Yeah.
Go for it.
I mean, I played both of them. I probably played a lot more of the second.
There's more than just two, but I know that that's what you mean. Age of Empires and Age of Empires 2.
There's really only two. Like, there is. But the reason I think this game is significant for me is because it's the first game, not the first game that I did this, but the first game that I got immense amount of satisfaction out of using cheat codes.
Ooh.
You used Game Shark on the last one, or
well,
Game
yeah,
Genie
absolutely,
or
but that's
you're
not really cheat codes.
You're a cheater.
I'm
dude.
Saying this. I bring that up. I actually am gonna. It's gonna sound like I cheated on every single one of these games that I played. I'm recalling that right now. Farming gold and exploiting the game, using the Game Shark, doing cheat codes.
Wait, is that what you did to us when we played on the podcast?
What? No, you can't do cheat codes multiplayer.
Sure.
I just cheated by having too much skill when we threw down at age two. But no, Age of Empires was just, it was funny cheat codes, and I remember spending hours doing ridiculous stuff. And the memories of the two kind of get conflated in my mind, but you could summon guys that shot lasers, and you could, you know, get like infinite resources and speed up the game and get remove fog of war and all the kind of things that are pretty typical for a RTS. But like the memory I have of that game, more than building a certain thing or learning a certain strategy, was looking up and finding and keeping like lists full of all the cheat codes.
Would you actually play this game with people or with the computer? Yeah. People online, local?
This was before internet was good and ubiquitous. The second one got there a little bit more and then sort of became popular. But this was still when most of my like real-time strategy gaming was single player. So like at home, just against computers.
Was this before Civ? I might be getting ahead of myself here.
I think this is after Civ.
Yeah, okay. Civilization and Warcraft, I believe, both existed.
Yeah.
And then Age of Empires was touted as Civilization meets Warcraft type thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Did it live up to that, Kenny? You played Civilization. Did you also play Warcraft? You did, right?
I did, and Warcraft was also great. Of the three of them, Warcraft is... Well, no, Civ 2 is amazing, too.
No, it's not.
Of the three of them, Age of Empires is actually probably the weakest. Age of Empires 2 gets significantly better, but...
But this isn't our list of, like, best games
not.
Or strongest games. This is one
it's
of
It's just
the...
things that had an impact on us.
And... No, it's most impactful, and you know that, and this is one of your top most impactful games.
This is one of the games that had a significant impact
most,
on me.
Yes.
Because it taught me the joy of cheat codes and kind of just that sort of aspect of gaming.
Now, before we go on to your next game where you cheated, do you remember, I know this is a tough question, there's so many different civilizations, I'm sure, or is that civilizations with, there's so many civilizations, like a dozen or so in Age
like
of Empires.
Like in the world?
In Age of Empires, first one, was there one that you were particularly drawn to, or did you just float around? What was your strategy there, outside of cheat codes?
I don't remember as well with the first one.
Genghis.
With the second one, I leaned towards being British, but I don't recall.
Walk what? Around. Good day, mates. Good day.
Good day.
It was
I'll
all about the accent, not about the sick archers.
Good day. Would you like some tea?
That's a really, really good accent, Dustin.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
I hate how you set up me talking about my next game.
You're always looking for segues. Just
go
to the next
true.
Word, homie.
No, it's totally true. Okay, I'll get there, and then you can tell me whether or not I should have segued. The next game, I don't think you guys know anything about whatsoever. I don't think you've heard it,
lying.
Played it, are familiar with it at all. So I may need to contextualize a little bit. But the next game that I wanted to talk about was a game called Birthright, The Gorgon's Alliance.
So that's not a game.
Yeah,
of course we need updating on what that is.
Yeah, so that's the subtext there. Like, it's Birthright is the name of the game.
Is that 1997 strategy video game?
Yeah, you just Googled it.
Developed by
act.
Synergistic Software and distributed by Sierra Online.
Don't even act like you know anything about this game.
Kind of remember
this 100% wasn't you guys and was PC and the whole thing.
Okay, explain, please.
So this game was interesting on its own merits. Like, I loved it and just played the snot out of it. You kind of have an overworld campaign where you're, like, managing an empire and doing battle with your neighbors and, like, managing the actual battlefield. And so there's sort of strategy there and also, like, resource management and the kind of stuff that was really in my wheelhouse and strategy. But then what was interesting about this game is that the character you had, the, like... regent you had that was a ruler of this nation that's developing these sort of big picture things could also choose to like go on these little side quests, and you'd leave your overworld management kind of strategy and you'd jump in to like a full-on Dungeons and Dragons style three-dimensional RPG. And like you'd have a short time to like beat this, I don't know, this sort of objective, this, you know, instance of like a challenge where you get dropped in and you have to like kill an enemy or like find a special artifact. And if you were successful at those things, then you got these big bonuses from the loot you gathered on your little side adventures that would have a really big impact on your game itself. So it was totally in your interest to go and do all of these little side quests and be really successful at them.
That is so much. I don't even know what to tell you
that I'm lost completely.
Like, I don't even know what to hone in on.
Well, but I haven't even gotten to the part of the game that was significant to me.
I mean, the strategy, I'm assuming you just did this.
What is this game called? Gorgonzola?
What?
No.
Gorgondolion or something. Listen, what I'm picturing is like a bard's tell when you're doing missions.
Kind of.
Okay. And then when you're in this overworld thing, I'm thinking like Civilization 2.
Yeah, not quite Civ 2. More like Risk meets a little bit of like Warcraft.
Yeah, but I would not be your friend.
Never mind. It's your episode.
Oh, it was a super fun game for me. But again, that's not the reason that I think it was impactful on me. So I would do these side missions, and I was really bad at them, and they took a really, really long time.
So you use cheat codes. We get it.
Not cheat codes. Wait, this really? Is the first game that I actually like went out, researched on the internet, and like directly modified, like game files, like actual cheating. Not cheat codes provided for you.
Yeah. Every single one of yours are impactful because you learned how to be a better hacker.
Like, literally, we were joking, and then you went there.
I know,
there.
And it's totally on theme. That's why I told you it was such a good segue.
Oh,
this is the first game that I, like, downloaded third-party software, and, like, your save game files you could, like, import in, and you'd have to open them up with, like, a hex editor and, like, find all these specific values for whether or not your character had these items that you would have gotten that were so impactful. And you could like edit them into your saves. And I'd never done that kind of thing before. And so it was a big learning experience on like computery kinds of things for this, you know, kid who's into this stuff but hasn't ever been that person. And also just felt kind of cool and powerful and saved me a lot of time because I didn't have to do these long, difficult kind of side instances. I just got all the stuff from them because I wanted them.
Yeah. Or you could just get good and play the game as it was intended to be played.
I was also pretty dang good at the game, let's be real.
Have you modded a game since then?
Sure.
So,
well, what is so appealing?
The reason why you're able to find a... Like, we always go to Kenny. If we're unable to find a game or unable to play a game or make, like, an old PC title work, he always figures out the workaround. Or if, like, we're trying to play... There's one game we played on our podcast where you're not... Like, there's no way you're supposed to be able to play it online with other people. And he made it to where... And other people made it, but he was able to discover where the three of us could actually play three different characters in the RPG together.
Yeah, that's really impressive.
Yeah, that probably started in this era of, like, gaming for me. This is one of the games that like, taught me to think about those things, for
it's
sure.
Because of Gorgonzola.
The Gorgons Alliance.
Yeah.
Birthright.
Harry Potter and the Gorgonzola.
Harry...
I would actually be a little surprised if this game wasn't on our list. I bet it is.
There's no way. I've never heard of it in my life.
I know some of our viewers have remembered it or played it. Some of the more PC-leaning people that are older, I bet, are familiar with this title.
I don't know if I would play it, even if it came up on the randomized.
I would love to go back. I actually might go see if it's on like GOG or something, because it'd be such a nostalgia bomb for me.
Harry Potter and the Gorgons Alliance.
That one was fun because I knew it was a game you guys weren't familiar with. The next two you're both familiar with how I've played them, but are two of many that are like unarguably so significant that I just had to drop them in there. So I thought we'd also...
World of Warcraft.
Quit Stealing Thunder.
Ooh. Oh!
Okay.
That's my sixth one. We're doing my fifth one.
Well, you didn't have to give it away.
You, every time now...
Give it away.
It's like you've seen my list before, and it's really frustrating. So, I want to talk about StarCraft a little bit. We've talked about this game extensively because it's significantly, like, without question, the single game that had the biggest impact on me. I played it the most. It was at the most important part of life. It was that good of a game at the time. It was revolutionary. Yada, yada, yada. A million different things. I've rehashed a lot of that. It's another game that we played all together, and I beat both of you at, even though I was just one player. So, like, no big deal.
That's not even a competition, though. But, like, that's
oh, no,
like...
not at all.
Then why are you proud?
Just, I don't know, because we brought up Age of Empires earlier. And I had to prove to you guys that I was competitive about stuff. Somebody questioned that.
I didn't even know what Zergs were. And then I downloaded a virus onto my computer, played StarCraft with you guys, and you beat us.
Wait,
big whoop.
No, that was the time that y'all left me behind.
Yeah.
I remember.
Oh,
y'all had it set up, and then y'all just started playing.
You couldn't get it working. Kenny was too excited to get in. And
yeah, but y'all didn't tell me. You just started the game and stopped
talking.
Nolan was
really salty. And it was probably deserved.
Whatever. What happened happened, and we're moving on to find out why StarCraft was so impactful in your life. One of the most impactful games of your life.
No, this one is the single most impactful.
The single most, and you saved it for number five.
Yeah. I'm doing them in kind of chronological order.
Oh, yeah.
Of how
I
played them.
Okay.
So, again, a million reasons this one is the single most, but the thing I wanted to talk about today was how fun the user-created content scene of StarCraft was. Just because a lot of people know the game itself, but it had a really vibrant, like, build-your-own versions of games in our map editor and then play them kind of scene. And this was just really fun for me because it taught me replayability of games. I dabbled with making some of those maps. A lot of really cool games were spawned out of some of those things. And that's just a really fond memory. Like, when I was playing this game to play it and be competitive, we'd go in and throw down and be really good and try hard. But when I was playing it just to, like, blow off steam... It wasn't go in and play normal mode. It was go in and play use map settings maps. And so it was a fun era in that game's history for me.
So it's super interesting to track some of the most impactful games.
Yeah.
Like, I could have told you that you were going to be a coder like three games in.
I know. Right?
Every single one of the... I'm like, we were joking about it. Now it's like a complete revelation of like who you are and what you're passionate about. You code now. That's what you do as a living. And in each of these games, you were coding to some degree or another. I know that in the early like Game Shark days, you're putting in lines of code pretty much like so many digits and line after line after line all the way up until where in Gorgon's Run you're hacking the files, and then here
that's absolutely the name of the game.
Here in StarCraft, like, you did play competitively, but the thing that you enjoyed
and more
most but the thing that you enjoyed most was creating the game yourself.
Yeah, those were really fun. And it was fun to go in and dabble with all that stuff. And it was also just fun to play different versions of a game you liked, for sure. But yeah, there's that theme kind of running through.
Yeah, it's just so fascinating how different your gaming preference is from most people. But I love it. Like, it makes no sense, but it's the best thing ever.
I had fun with it the whole time.
Oh, of course.
Dustin already spoiled my last one. A lot of people, when this game was big, got into World of Warcraft.
Never heard of it. What is it?
I did as well. At first,
number
it was
six?
Kind of, yeah, number six is WoW.
Oh, wow.
That's
well
not
done.
Good.
This game started for me being fun because it's an amazingly fun game, and the RPG elements and the MMO elements and then social elements and all of those things were great. But then this is the first game that, like... And I know I talked about kind of going above and beyond and modding games and doing those kinds of things on some before, but this is the first game that I really feel like I learned to, like, try hard on. Because I had never gone to the extent that I went to in playing World of Warcraft in any other game. I was the guy that by the time I quit playing the game was like running spreadsheets to min-max my character and like calculate damage output in raids and all of that kind of stuff. And it was sad, but that's how these games became for a lot of people that were doing like end game, really kind of tough and intense content. And it was not what I expected the game to become, but I had a lot of fun doing it, surprisingly enough.
I'm so sad I missed that era. I wish I could have played with y'all.
Yeah, and I'm asking, what was WoW, was what you're talking about, your experience with WoW, was that with me in college, or had you done it before?
No, this was mostly post you in college. Because there was a time, you'll remember, but there was a time after sort of our circle of friends sort of quit playing socially. You guys all sold out and sold your accounts. And I kept playing, and that's when I got into the kind of higher end in-game content and raiding and doing some of those kind of more immersive pieces of the game.
By yourself?
I mean, with a lot of people.
Dude, Dustin's
like, it's
so
a really
sad.
All
social
by
game.
Yourself. How did you go about hacking this game is the big question.
Yeah,
you can't hack this
know.
Game. But there is a bunch of...
I bet you can.
Like, in this case, it wasn't hack the game, but it was like, learn the systems... You know, download the spreadsheets with all of the damage calculations and buff configurations and party optimization kind of stuff that people have built and keep track of those things and then help like manage and organize all that in a big, you know, 40 person raid where you're not just learning how to do things with your character, but you're learning how all of the group together interacts, and you're also strategizing in real time with a fight and dynamic things that are happening. And there's a lot that goes into doing a game like that
for
in
sure.
that way. And it was fun. It was a cool,
such
cool
a
era.
Numbers guy.
It's such a numbers guy. I love that. Important question. What was your character?
I was a rogue.
Yeah. And race?
I was a gnome.
What if you're like white? You were a gnome man. Named Caleb?
Yep.
Okay. And the end.
And that's it. And
no,
that's
it makes sense. Of course you're a gnome. You wouldn't have been anything else.
Oh, for sure. And you got to the like top of your game there. Sure. I mean, always there's somewhere to climb or something to get better at. But like, did you conquer that game?
As much as I felt like I could, given... you know, amount of time I had to put it into it and whatever else. Our server just happened to have one of, like, the super, super elite groups that played the game where, like, you know, worldwide would be one of the first people to, like, clear dungeons and all of those things. And that was crazy.
Dang.
That was crazy, crazy elite. I never played with those guys. But, like, outside of one of the rogues in that group, I was probably the second best geared rogue character on our server by the time
my
I quit.
My goodness, Kenny. I didn't know
serious?
All this. Yeah, I don't think Dustin did either.
So are you famous?
No.
Yeah.
Like, it's WoW. It doesn't matter at all. It was dumb.
But like, do 20 people know you about you?
20?
Nope.
That's,
from
you've
the
made
podcast.
It at 20.
From the podcast.
No, like,
people that listen.
Yeah, I'm podcast famous, but that's it.
Could you have made YouTube videos about gnome rogues and been like successful and have a lot of views?
No, because
he tried.
I don't know. Content creation's really hard.
No, you just didn't do it.
That's true. Also, if you were actually serious about being a really, really good rogue player, you shouldn't play as a gnome.
You just picked
like,
a gnome
when I picked
the
character, you don't know that. You know, this is like years later, and I wasn't about to reroll a whole second character or whatever else. It's just not like the best synergies there.
It's racist.
And so it would have been kind of silly to try.
All right, final question for WoW. Should the three of us get an account and play together?
I'll answer no.
And the reason why?
Oh, because you guys would suck all the fun out of it.
I don't know about that. I was talking about the money.
I would role play my character, so
exactly.
All the fun would be
gentleman.
There.
Actually, if we... so
excuse
like, we
me,
couldn't
good
actually,
sirs.
Play the game for a long time, it'd be terrible. But if we ever like downloaded the game and played long enough to like run one of the first dungeons or something together, we would actually have a really, really fun time doing it.
We would bust our guts laughing.
Absolutely.
And we're coming to a conclusion of our first ever mini-series. Somewhat bittersweet. Six episodes that we're just dropping.
I'm proud of us, dude. Like, we knocked those out.
We cranked these six out. And we're going to drop them all at the same time. And so,
like Netflix.
Hopefully you're listening in the right order. I would hate for someone to listen to six first.
Yeah, that'd be
worst
terrible.
One.
We're going to very clearly identify which one is which. But for those of you that have gone through here and listened to these, we thank you. But we're not going to end this mini-series without thanking those of you that made this possible. The whole reason why really we are continuing to exist as a podcast and definitely the whole reason this mini-series exists is because of our benevolent patrons who go above and beyond each and every month to support us, not just by listening to our show, not just by a retweet or telling someone else about us, although all of those things are important, by financially donating to us, which is just amazing.
Crazy.
That there's some 40 of you that are doing that. We're getting closer and closer to the 50 number of how many are doing that, but no matter if you're giving a dollar a month or $3, $5, $10, $25 for some of you crazy producers, we cannot thank you enough.
Seriously. It's been like really insane to see how many people actually care about us opening our mouths and talking about dumb stuff. And I enjoy doing it and I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. You guys really are the best. And not just for your financial support, which is super cool, but for playing games along with us, for dropping into Discord and sharing your thoughts, for sending in commentary, for giving us game suggestions, buying t-shirts. Like, there's all kinds of ways that our community jumps in and gets nostalgic with us about all these retro games. And it's fun because it's a great set of people and it's a fun thing to talk about. And I'm with you guys. I'm super appreciative.
Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening to New Game Plus. Thank you for listening to this mini-series, our first ever, called Press Start. Whether you listen to a couple of episodes here or there, or all six of the mini-series episodes, or you just handpicked Kenny's episodes, because he's your favorite character.
Good choice, if so.
Character.
Either way, we'd love for you to listen to our weekly episode. Comes out every Monday on a new, old, retro video game. Until then, I'm still Dustin.
I'm Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is New Game Plus.